Anybody remember the day they were baptized by chance? You do? Good. Some of us do. I was baptized when I was 18 years old, and it wasn't in a sanctuary. There was no baptismal font. I don't even think there were a whole lot of church people there. I was there in the Gulf when the pastor dunked me under the water. And when I went under the water, I had some sense that what I was doing was important, that this was something that I probably should have been doing. But I know that I didn't really understand what was happening at that moment or what that moment meant. Now, when Jesus was baptized, heaven opened up and there came this big voice from God, and it said something about God. And I wish my baptism would have been that dramatic, but it was not. In fact, after I was baptized, I just stayed in the water for another 30 minutes to swim. Now, my baptism felt very run-of-the-mill, very ordinary. The water was still that same beautiful brown Galveston water. The beach still looked the same, and I was the same know-it-all teenager I had been before. But over time, I've come to sense that many of us, as I've had so many baptism conversations and gone through the ceremony so many times, I feel like many of us have that same kind of experience where it's just kind of something that happened. Nothing dramatic. Heaven doesn't open. It's something that we do. Now, many Christians hold firm to an idea that's called believer's baptism. If you know that, then you know that means that children shouldn't be baptized because they don't understand what they're doing. Now, there's some thought behind that that I appreciate about understanding God and paying attention to God. But with that idea, for me, though, comes the assumption that even we as adults understand what we're doing when we're being baptized. And I have to say, sisters and brothers, I don't think that's quite true either. A lot of us have no sense of what's happening when we are baptized, when we are participating, when someone else is baptized. And so that is to say that our baptism always comes before our full understanding. Our baptism comes before the clarity of what we think is happening in that moment. And certainly our baptism comes before our maturity as well. And this idea, because of what all these things mean, Christians throughout history have struggled with Jesus' baptism. The question is, well, why did Jesus have to be baptized? Those people, they're like John the Baptist. We don't think Jesus needed to be baptized because, well, on one hand, they're right. John's baptism was a baptism of repentance, right? Changing your mind, turning around, starting new. And Jesus had nothing to repent of. So why did he have to be baptized? Christians have struggled with that question since day one. But even though Jesus didn't need to be baptized in the sense that you and I have about what that moment is, Jesus still insisted that he be baptized. John says, I should be the one baptizing you. Yeah, you're standing in front of me. Jesus says, yeah, I am. Can we do this now? Let's do this to fulfill all righteousness. So he insists, and John agrees. Jesus goes under the water, and when he comes out of the water, Matthew tells us heaven opens, the Spirit descends, and a voice is heard. This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. So a couple things I want you to note about that. First of all, this whole experience, it's in Matthew 3. Remember that. The baptism of Jesus, Matthew 3. There's a mental sort of block you can have to help you better remember Scripture. In Matthew 3, Jesus gets baptized. And it's so early in Matthew that Jesus hasn't had a chance to preach any sermon. He hasn't healed anybody. He hasn't spoken up against injustice. He hasn't challenged the powerful. This is way before the cross. Before any of that happens, notice this. God names Jesus. This is my son, the beloved. And I think Matthew wants us to see at least two things in that. First, we should see that Jesus is the Son of God. That helps us understand the rest of the story. That helps us better understand everything that Jesus will do in his ministry if we understand Jesus as God's Son. But I think a second thing that we can notice is that since this naming came before anything Jesus did, we can say this with confidence. Jesus' identity is not earned. It doesn't have to be proven. It's not something Jesus was to achieve. It is given by God. And that's important. And that should matter to us because there are always other voices that want to name us, trying to name us first. Other voices that will tell you to forget what you think God has named you. The world is so good at naming us by what we produce, by how successful we are, by how busy we stay, by what we have failed at, even the world will name you. The world will name you by what you are afraid of. And sisters and brothers, be clear about this. Through our phones and our screens, everything we watch, we are no longer just people. We are data. The world names us by what we buy. They pay attention to what we buy and they classify us by that, treat us appropriately to what they've named us, by what data tells them we are. But we also hear this in our politics, the way we talk about politics. Somebody says X and somebody else says, oh, that must mean you're Y. And we leave little room for imagination, for nuance, or anything beyond non-superficial reaction. Everything today, so much today, is just pure reaction. And so much of what we see that's shared and reshared online, I want you to know, sisters and brothers, it's not neutral. It's coming from someone else who wants to form you in their image. Those who have ears to hear. You know what? Even religion can reduce our faith to behavior or to performance or to being and doing and getting it right. But you do not see that at the Jordan River that day with Jesus. You do not see that happening in Jesus' baptism. Before the world gets its turn, God names Jesus. God puts the truth out about who Jesus is. This is my son. This is my beloved. And when we hear that voice in Matthew 3, we understand this voice isn't just telling us who Jesus is. It's doing that, but it isn't just telling us who Jesus is. It's giving us an invitation to listen for the kind of story that God will show us in Jesus about the kingdom of God. And that is a story where belovedness comes first. Say that in your mind. Say that in your faith. Belovedness comes first. Before he preached, before he healed, before he threw the tables, before he fed, before he did anything, God said, my beloved. Because in the kingdom of God, belovedness comes first. And Jesus will continue to share this story where our identity, it's not fragile, it's not something easily broken, because it is rooted in who God is. Rooted in the reality, the power and the love of God. Jesus will show us that fear or anything else does not get the final word on who we are. So many things that want to separate us. So many things that want to tear us apart. But so many of you, you know that great scripture. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. I'll offer to you, nothing's supposed to take away our identity in God either. My beloved. For me personally, nothing dramatic happened that day in the Gulf. It's taken me time to realize some things after my baptism about my baptism. Over time, I've realized that in that moment, everything was the same, but in time, with time, in Christ, with Christ, I began to change. And my story began to change. You've heard our story before. Glory talks about, you know, she grew up in church, and oh, church this and church that, and they took her to church every week, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. They went to the church to go clean up on Friday. They were probably there on Saturday, prayer meetings and everything else. And when she got old enough, she was looking for somebody to be with, a boyfriend that was the furthest thing away from church that she could find. And she found me. A couple years later, in that brown water at Galveston, nothing felt like it was changing because I didn't know. With all these years behind me now, my story was changing when I was baptized. Now, baptism didn't erase my old life, y'all. I wouldn't be the cool dad that I am or the cool pastor that I am if it got rid of everything about me before. But baptism, it did tell me that my old life no longer got to define me. My old life never got to define me. Y'all with me? Your old life doesn't have to define you. And here's what baptism, or I think better said, here's what being baptized has taught me about who God calls us to be as the church and as followers of Jesus. That when you know who you are, my beloved, when you know who you are, you do not have to grasp for power. You ever met somebody like that who is so intent to show you and to tell you how powerful they are or how smart they are? And they're always telling you, right? Why do they have to tell you so much? Grasping. And you're looking back and like, brother, you ain't all that smart. And if you were that important, that powerful, you wouldn't have to be telling me right now. But we don't know who you are. Just grasping. Whatever can make me feel important. Whatever can make me feel like I matter. But also, when you know who you are, you don't have to live by fear. Jesus was baptized, and the rest of this story that we're talking about, he is about to embark on an incredible ministry that is going to take a lot out of him. Hello, the old rugged cross. You don't think there were some scary moments in his ministry, in his life? But he didn't live by the fear of doing what God called him to do or being who God called him to be. And when you know who you are, you don't have to mirror the anxiety of the world around you. Sisters and brothers, our baptism doesn't pull us out of the world like we are retreating. This isn't a hideaway spot. What our baptism does is send us back into the world, but different. Different, not because we are better than anybody else, but because we have been named by God. That in our baptism, God draws us in and then now sends us out saying, do not forget who you are. I think all of us were baptized before we fully understood what that meant. Some of us don't even remember it. We were little babies when we got baptized, but I imagine, like me, All of us needed time and life to grow into the meaning of what being baptized is. And thankfully, sisters and brothers, no longer how long it's taking you, no longer if you feel like you have a better understanding of it or not, thankfully, baptism does not expire. There is no expiration date on your baptism. That's why we don't do baptism again. Other faith traditions may do that, but when we come here, we say, it's happened plenty of times. We say, I feel like God's doing something in my life. I feel like I want to be new, and praise God for that. Somebody says, well, I was baptized as a kid. I want to be baptized again. And sort of our denominational line, our understanding is, well, if we baptize you again, what we're saying is God didn't do it right the first time. Is that anything you want to say about God? Nah. So maybe you didn't fully understand what was happening in that moment, but God did. So we can reaffirm what God is doing in your life. We can thank God for the sense that you are ready to now live more fully than you ever had as a follower of Jesus. But we don't have to do baptism again. Instead, we return to it. That's why we say in the church, remember your baptism. I think it's more helpful to say, remember that you are baptized. Sisters and brothers, you are God's beloved. And you are God's beloved not because of anything that you've done or anything that you failed to do. You are God's beloved because God has claimed you. Before you let the world name you, remember that God has already spoken over you. Before you let anybody tell you what you are, before you are so willing to accept what other people tell you are, remember what God has already said about you. You belong to God. And that belonging shapes how you live, how you love, and how you now go back into the world. And so, church, I think it's appropriate today for us to remember that we are baptized, with the hope that through remembering, God would strengthen our spirit and draw us ever closer to God's will. That is something you want to do. We're going to do a couple things together, but first, let us pray. God, thank you for naming me, for calling me your own, and for setting me on your way. By the power of your Holy Spirit, make me new today. In Jesus' name, amen.